Father, we come to you today and we know that we live in a dirty world. And we know that everywhere we turn today, there is nothing but filth and immorality of the worst kind. And we know that it has to be more challenging than ever before for old and young alike to really walk in that purity that you desire for each and every one of us. And we admit, Lord, that in our flesh we are weak. But we know that you have indwelt us by your Holy Spirit, and we know what your will for us is, and we know that you have given us your word in order to instruct us in the way that we should live our lives on a day-to-day basis. And so today, I just pray, Lord, that you will impress upon us again what value you put on this, because it has great benefits for us now and into all eternity. And Lord, that you will work in our hearts in such a way that we will not want to be stained by all that is going on in this world, but that we would want indeed to be kept holy and blameless in your sight, an example to others of what you can do in a life and how you want our love to be pure and unfettered by the things of this world, that we might indeed be examples for you, and that we might also in turn, experience your love in fuller measure than ever before. Cleanse us of those things that are not pleasing to you. Reorder our lives. Get us, dear Lord, on track as we should be before you. And that is our prayer today for ourselves as your servants. And these things we ask in Jesus' holy name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I said last week, for two or three weeks here, we're going to talk about, you know, like we say, where the rubber hits the road. We had that verse last week where Jesus said, the man who hears these words of mine and does them is like the man who was going to build a house, and he dug deep and he put it on the bedrock, and then the storm came and the winds blew and the waters rose and all of that, and the house stood firm, because it was built upon the rock. And we talked about the fact that building on the rock means doing what Jesus said. And if there has ever been a time when it is important for God's people to actually live what we say we believe in our daily lives, it is that time now. We need to do so for our own sake, so that we really will be ready for the coming of the Lord and looking for his coming. And in obedience to him and enjoying his presence in our lives in a daily way, and also that we might be true witnesses for him. And this is certainly his will for us. And so today we're going to talk about personal purity, right about the time that we're coming into Valentine's Day. And we're going to talk, it'll touch on that, because in the West, I'm not sure that we really have the view of love. Well, a long time ago, we mixed up lust and love, I think, in this country. And a lot for what passes as love is really nothing but old-fashioned physical lust. But God wants us as his people to lead holy lives. And so today we're going to talk about this issue. It's a very pertinent issue, and it is one that has been relevant in all times and in all cultures everywhere. There are those who believe that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. There are those who believe that Job was written even before Genesis was written. However that may be, Job is one of the oldest writings of our scripture and in the Old Testament. And Job is quoted as saying in Job 31:1, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl." And this is written a long, long time ago. And then the Apostle Paul, writing many, many years later to the believers in Corinth, which was a city known for certain things, said, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And so we can see throughout all of Scripture that this issue of personal purity has been an issue all along. It's not a new issue. It's just that in this day and time, I can't imagine those men like David and others who lived at that time, if they'd had the internet and had all the stuff that we have now. I mean, we are just, everywhere that we turn, there are opportunities to engage in every kind of mental and physical immorality that there is. And so it is. It is a very important subject, and it is one that is addressed in virtually every single one of Paul's epistles. When he writes to the churches, he will mention it along with lying and along with stealing and along with other things that we're supposed to be rid of as new creations in the Lord Jesus Christ. What the King James word is fornication, and the NIV phrase is sexual immorality. So almost anywhere that you find that in the NIV, it would be fornication in the King James. And so it was an issue in the early church, and it is still an issue today. So I want us today to just do a few observations here, and then we'll get down into some of the implications of this. Number one, the issue of personal purity has been a major one for God's people from the outset, in every time and every culture. And then I have Job 31:1 there, with the quote of what Job said. So this is not a new thing, and this is something that has been dealt with in our fallen sinful natures. All of us can have tendencies in that direction. And so it is not something new, but it is something that is very, very front and center in today's culture. I mean, look at any sitcom or look at anything on TV now, and everything is just wide open. It is assumed. I mean, living together without being married, one-night stands, and just such things are taken for granted. They are just considered normal, they are just considered part of the culture, and they are openly portrayed even in what we today might consider the most innocent sitcoms or whatever. And that is where we are at in our society today. But it's always been an issue. Number two, the area of purity is an area the enemy loves to attack because it is of spatial interest to God, and because the personal consequences are so far-reaching and lasting. And I used the polite word there, far-reaching, rather than some spectacular word like devastating. And yet, we can see the wreckage all around us. There's a verse up here, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Every single day we're either sowing to our flesh or we're sowing to our spirit. And somebody said, whichever one is kind of like two, whatever, and the one you feed is the one that's going to thrive, right? And that's the way that it is. Now, we can say, well, that's old, that's taboo, that's from another time, we're past all that. You can say anything you want to say in that regard. But there's one thing you can't do. You cannot escape the consequences of your wrong behavior. Whatsoever a person sows, that they will reap. Invariably, every single time, because that is what is written in God's Word. And that's why it's so important that on a day-to-day basis, we be sowing to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Because if we are sowing to the flesh, it says here that of the flesh, we will reap corruption. I could name some names here this morning, but I won't, but you know them from the news. And there have been many prominent people in the news very, very recently just on such things as this. One major U.S. congressman resigned this week because of some indiscretions in looking for women on Craigslist and a certain photo that he sent her. And so this is as near as just about the nearest headline. We can also name major ministries that have been touched by this type of thing in recent years. And I know that people are human, And I know that the Lord forgives. But when we are God's people and we are serving the Lord and we fall in these areas, the Lord will forgive us and He'll get us back on our feet. But the damage that is done can never be fixed. And the name of the gospel is drug in the dirt because of such things. Because the world do, even though they might say they don't, they still know right from wrong. And even though they are engaged in all these things themselves, they are the first one to point to us as a hypocrite when they discern a weakness in such areas. And so it is just so important that as God's people, we be feeding the inner man from the Word of God and from the things that are good and true. And that we, but this is an area the enemy will invariably attack. He will tempt us in this area, as in few. And today, I don't think you have to go very far to encounter the temptations. You really don't. And so it's really important as God's people that we be prayed up. But this is an issue that's extremely important to God. Just like you value the physical health of your children, you don't want your children sick. How many of you as parents are happy when your child has the sniffles and is going around not feeling good all the time? How many of you are happy about that? That's the way our Heavenly Father feels when we as His children are engaged in things like this. And He does not like it. He will forgive us, He will cleanse us, He will receive us, and all of that. But no, that is not what He wants for us, because it is not the best for us. Number three, purity involves more than specific actions and events. It involves our attitudes, our mental processes, the types of visual and auditory intake we allow ourselves, and much more. So impurity isn't just an action or an event. It is also a state of mind. It is the types of things we read. It is the type of music that we listen to. Again, whatever we feed, that is what is going to thrive. You say, well, what should I listen to? I don't know. How about the old what would Jesus do rule? What do you think Jesus would be listening to these days if He were here and was walking around with His iPod? So whatever He would not be listening to, it's probably good that you shouldn't be listening to it. What would Jesus be checking out on the internet? Well, whatever you don't think Jesus would probably be checking out on the internet is probably something we shouldn't be checking out as well. That's a pretty good rule of thumb. But it involves more than just actions and events. It involves a frame of mind. And we need our minds covered and we need our minds protected. And we need to pray to that end. And we need to pray for each other to that end. Number four, many of the problems in the lives of individual Christians and in the church in general today can be traced to our lax attitudes toward immoral behavior. And indeed, this is something that has become so common that it's just very easy to almost get used to it, to almost get hardened to it. But the fact of the matter is that it does create problems. And these types of things do have consequences. David, we know that David fell one time. And the Lord received him back, and the Lord did not take the throne from him. But there were some very, very clear consequences. If you want to read about it, look it up, that the Lord delivered to him that would stay with him for the rest of his life because of that one indiscretion, if you want to call it that, on that one afternoon. And so the type of damage that is done is considerable. And because of our disobediences in these areas, we have many personal problems many times, and they are of our own making because we have complicated things. Have you thought about the fact, we talked about abortion a few weeks ago, that tens of thousands of abortions are done every year in this country? Because we don't keep our personal purity and for no other reason? What about split up families? because of affairs and because of unfaithfulness. How many times does that happen a year in this country, including in so-called Christian homes? And does that have an effect on the children? And does it cause difficulties? Oh, absolutely. Financially also. We could make a long list here, folks. There are many, many personal complications that come into our lives because of our indiscretions and because of our laxity in these areas. It is not an area to be lax about. I mean, I know people that will send a little thing of some kind of hand sanitizer with their kids in their bag to school because they feel that strongly about the fact that they don't want their child picking up something at school. Well, if we're that conscientious about a few germs that our child might pick up at school, how about in moral stuff, which can really do some real damage? And so I'm just saying, it's not an area we need to be lax in at all. Number five. Oh, we haven't even touched on STDs and stuff like that. And you, I'm telling you, that is one, talk about the media keeping something under the rug. That's one you never hear about, the statistics, and it is purely epidemic in this country right now. But they don't want you knowing about that. Number five, to the extent that we are governed by fleshly concerns, to that extent we are yielded impotent as Christians. And this is another reason why this is such an important area. Because we can't be feeding the flesh and feeding the flesh and feeding the flesh and then be strong in the spirit the way that the Lord intends. Number six, pure behavior begins in the heart. And I can't emphasize this enough. Unless I have a heart that wants to be pure before the Lord, and that is a high value and something that I am constantly asking the Lord for, then I've already lost the battle before I've even begun. After his sin, Psalm 51, David wrote that psalm, and we all ought to read that psalm from time to time. But one of his prayers there was, "Create in me, O Lord, a pure heart." Because without it starting in the heart, wherever your heart takes you, usually, that's where we're going to wind up. Am I right? We think we're intelligent. We think we have brains. We think we have logic. But usually, the heart doesn't lie. And wherever the heart leads us, that's usually where we're going to go. And if in my heart, I really do, like that song of many years ago, we don't sing it anymore, "Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. In my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart." One time Jesus' disciples forgot to wash their hands or something before dinner, and man, did they catch it. Can some of you with some scrupulous moms relate to that one? "You didn't wash your hands." And they're saying to Jesus, "Your disciples, they didn't wash their hands." And Jesus said, "Hey, it's not what goes in, it's what comes out that makes somebody unclean." And then Jesus said this, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." Jesus said it's what's in the heart. And he says that sexual immorality and these things, they start in the heart. They come from the heart. No wonder in Proverbs it says, "Above all things guarded, guard your heart. Keep a close watch on that heart." Johnny Cash used to sing a song about that. "I keep a close watch on this heart of mine." That is very good advice for us as believers. Number seven. I left out a word, maybe. Yes, I did. God is pro-family and pro-true love. Immorality is harmful to both. God is pro-family, and God is pro-true love. What God is against is the misuse and the misapplication of that which He has given us. And since our bodies really are the temple of the Holy Spirit, when we engage in that we should not engage in, we are, in a sense, making the Holy Spirit a participant of that. I can't imagine. The Word says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. And this is one of the major ways that we grieve the Holy Spirit, is when we begin to engage in things that are absolutely contrary to the will and to the purposes of God. So God is pro-true love and He's pro-family. But immorality is a mortal enemy of both the family and true love. All right, what are some of the effects of impure behavior? I'm sure this is a partial list. Impure thoughts and behavior. Number one, divert our energy and attention away from spiritual interests toward self-gratification. And that is exactly right there. That is possibly the most morbid part of the whole thing right there. It's already got me diverted away from the things of the Lord, and it's got me focusing on myself, my needs, my wants, and what feels good to me, and what seems to be, you know, that would make me happy right now. And if you allow him, I'll tell you what, the old enemy, David Letterman has a top 10 list. Well, I'll tell you what, the old devil probably has a top 10,000 list of rationalizations. If you want some rationalizations for doing and thinking the wrong things, the devil will be glad to supply you some. He's got them. Number two, impure thoughts and behavior put us at odds with God's Word, because we are everywhere enjoined in the Word of God to avoid such things, and that they are detrimental to us as the people of God. Number three, impure thoughts and behavior put us at odds with the Holy Spirit. We talk about being led by the Holy Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to turn on that computer and look at the wrong stuff. The Holy Spirit is never going to lead you to start flirting with the girl down at work and then start having an affair just because your wife isn't giving you everything you want in the moment. Can I talk plain? Or for whatever other reason, just because she feeds your little old ego. But these things put us at odds with the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. Number four, impure thoughts and behavior put us at odds with God's will. A lot of us talk about God's will. Well, I just want the will of the Lord. Well, we just read today, the Lord's will for us is our sanctification. Sanctification doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we never mess up. But it does mean that we are set apart unto the Lord. We acknowledge that we belong to Him. And we want to live every facet of our lives in a way that's going to glorify Him. Can I hear an amen? Young people, you who are courting, do you know what you need to do? You and your girlfriend need to make a covenant. And you need to say each other, we covenant together that we will save each other for each other until we are married. That is what you need to do. And there are couples that are doing it all over this land. Can it be done? The devil is a liar. The devil has got us so hoodooed today that they're always saying, well, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Yeah, they're going to do it if somebody doesn't teach them the real word of the Lord. If they don't really get in love with Jesus, if they don't really get where the love of the Lord Jesus is in their hearts, yes. But it does not have to be that way. And so we need to explode the devil's lies. And the Lord will allow us. We've just got to want it, that's all. And we need to covenant together and hold each other accountable. What could be more beautiful before the Lord than for a couple to say, I pledge to you, I will keep myself for you, and we will keep ourselves apart from each other until, in that way, until we are married. Because that is where it belongs. And we make that covenant. We need to make a covenant. Impure thoughts and behavior weaken us spiritually. It's like having spiritual AIDS. Do you know what AIDS does? AIDS weakens the whole immune system so that then you catch just about anything that comes along. That's what impure thoughts and behavior do for the believer. I've heard people say those on dialysis never feel good again. They can function, they can get along, but they're never well again. That's what it is like when, as believers, we walk around this way, because it weakens us. We don't lose our salvation. We will still go to heaven when the time comes, but we're going to miss out on a lot of good things in the meantime, and we will not be those that the Lord would have us to be. Number 6, impure thoughts and behavior negatively impact our witness and harm our relationships. And the fact of the matter is, we probably have no idea how much they harm our relationships. And they definitely harm our witness. So it's inevitable. And this one is sad. Number 7, impure thoughts and behavior. Now, I don't mean from time to time. I mean this is a daily pattern. Impure thoughts and behavior make sustained spiritual advance impossible. There is no way that you and I can be living in disobedience to the Lord in a major area of our lives on a daily basis and be actually growing spiritually and making advance. Until that is repented of, until that is gotten right, the old thing is just gonna stop. Any of you ever watched a video on the internet and it's got that little thing at the bottom, that little red thing that moves along, and then all of a sudden it gets overloaded or something and it just stops? That's what happens to our spiritual growth when this becomes a major issue in our lives. And so I just want to encourage everybody here today. Lord, make me pure. Make me pure on the outside. Make me pure on the inside. Make me pure toward you. And that purity would be something, Lord, that I come to love because you love it. And that I come to value because you value it. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Psalm 119:9. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139:23-24. Flee the evil desires of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. 1 Timothy 2:22. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Ephesians 5:3. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Colossians 3, 5, and 6. And James 1, 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves me. And His will and His purpose for us is purity in word, deed, and thought. A person yielded to the Holy Spirit. And yes, a person who lives at odds with the prevalent culture around us. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you today, Lord, and Lord, I just pray today, as we said earlier, this is an area of interest to you. This is an area that the enemy loves to attack over and over and over and over again because he knows how far-reaching the consequences are and how important this is to you. And so, Father, today, I pray for myself, and I pray for all of us here today, as many as are under the hearing of your word, Lord. We do love you. We do want to serve you. And sometimes we're weak in an area, or sometimes we get caught up in something. But I thank you that there is cleansing, and I thank you that there is forgiveness, and I thank you that there is always the opportunity for a new beginning. And so, Lord, today, I pray for myself and I pray for our congregation that you would guard our hearts, that you would guard our minds, that you really would create in us, each of us, a pure heart. And, Lord, whatever our pattern has been up to this time, that we would grow in holiness unto you, that we would grow in our desire to truly be pleasing to you each day in all of our words and all of our deeds, and what we watch and what we listen to, and all of it, we want to be, Lord, pleasing to you in everything. Thank you that you love us so much, and thank you that you are able to indeed make us entirely pure. We thank you now, and Lord, we entrust ourselves to you for this completed work, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.